Chaos in Libya forces a mass exodus of workers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Now the global perspective. What's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world? A ferry with hundreds of Americans on board is scheduled to leave Libya at some point today. Meanwhile, other countries are also getting their workers out. And eyewitnesses along the border say tens of thousands of Egyptians and others are returning home as well. As part of Marketplace's Mideast coverage, the BBC's Alistair Leithead is with us from Cairo. Hello, Alistair.
Hi there.
We're hearing stories of all these foreign workers fleeing Libya. Why were they there in the first place?
Well, there are a lot of opportunities for workers in Libya, certainly in the oil industry. That's why you have a lot of people from the West working there. But also within the region itself, there's been a lot of opportunity as well. And countries such as Tunisia and Egypt, both neighbors, both suffer from high unemployment themselves. And there's a sense that there was more opportunity in Libya. And so a lot of people have gone there. 1.5 million Egyptians are normally based in Libya, according to the foreign ministry here in Cairo.
How will the loss of all those workers change the economy there in Libya?
Well, I think the question at the moment is what the economy is doing in Libya because of the political crisis, because of the violence that we've seen. That's going to have a big impact on the country anyway. There is high unemployment in Libya as it is. There is a lot of poverty in certain areas. And I think the anger that we've seen really shows that. And of course, what will happen if Colonel Gaddafi decides to shut down the oil fields or set fire to them when he goes? There's lots of unknowns at the moment affecting Libya. And of course, the economy is a very important part of that.
The BBC's Alistair Leithead in Cairo. Alistair, thanks.
Thanks.
The number of deaths in New Zealand could top 400 after a powerful earthquake this week near the city of Christchurch. Now American engineers are descending on the country to measure damage and, more importantly, learn how to protect buildings, sewers, and the like against earthquakes in the United States. But Marketplace's Eve Tro asks, will those cities listen?
A few years ago, the Google Earth team went to Brazil to help scientists and tribal leaders make videos about illegal logging in the rainforest.
Começaram me ameaçar madeireira, as pessoas. Já foram mortos 11 lideranças.
Google engineer Rebecca Moore was there.
They said, what we really need Google to do is help us stop the deforestation of the Amazon. We're losing over 1 million acres a year.
She says the Brazilians wanted to see illegal logging as it happened. They wanted to monitor forest density over time, and they wanted national forest data, not just slivers.
You could stage armed guards all around that forest. Well, the illegal logging activities move up the road to a different forest. So to really be effective, you need to do it continent scale, global scale.
More than 25 years of satellite forest photos were readily available, but no one had stitched them together. Enter Google. It donated its mega computer processors for the task. Rebecca Moore's team built software to interpret the data. Google Earth Engine launched last month. It lets you virtually cruise the world's green belts.
We're going to fly into the Mexico forest map. Yeah.
And access data on temperature changes or canopy cover for free.
We can update it every day. We're creating essentially a living, breathing model of the planet.
It's the first tool for scientists and government officials to monitor forests globally. David Diaz is with the nonprofit Forest Trends.
Google Earth Engine allows everyone to kind of use the same currency.
He says currency because the United Nations is putting a price on forests, specifically the carbon they soak up, to make it more profitable to save them than destroy them. Wealthy nations can pay to protect those forests as a way to offset their own pollution. And Earth Engine helps verify that it's working.
The donor countries want to have, you know, kind of a reliable metric for determining who is performing and who is not performing.
The more that countries like Brazil and Mexico can digitally prove they're saving their trees, the more money they stand to make. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets have rebounded around the world. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac say they lost nearly $4 billion in the last quarter of 2010, and each has asked for more money in federal aid. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow slipped, down 37 points, to close at 12,068.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. and by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
In Florida today, executives with America's biggest household products companies are wrapping up a meeting with stock analysts. Companies such as Procter & Gamble and Clorox are trying to clean up their acts for investors. But that task is going to require a little elbow grease because of rising costs for that stuff that goes into their products. Our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore reports.
After the housing crisis, we may have a house cleaning crisis. Companies that make detergent and toothpaste are paying more for petroleum and other commodities. Procter & Gamble, for one, says its costs will jump by $1 billion this year. The good news is Procter & Gamble won't be passing on all of that to consumers.
I think you're going to see modestly higher prices on household products.
That's Lauren DeSanto, who covers Procter & Gamble for Morningstar. She spoke to us from the conference where analysts are fretting about the future of consumer companies. She says they can't raise prices too much for strap shoppers because they'll balk at $4 toothpaste. So Procter & Gamble will just have to make less money.
It's going to be a huge hit on their bottom line.
That will disappoint shareholders. But in the toughest position of all are retailers like Walmart, who guarantee low prices to shoppers. That's a hard promise to keep these days. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
And finally, talk about illegal job security. Police arrested an Orlando, Florida man for planting a computer virus in the software of all of those whack-a-mole games you see at the arcade. You know, the one where the mole pops out of a different hole and then you have to smack it back down? Well, authorities say Marvin Wimberly rigged the technology to fail on purpose, to create a problem only he could fix. He could keep working on that and have a job for a long time. I wonder how many of those game redemption tickets he's going to need to post bond. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles on Twitter at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You've been to a movie lately? Have you noticed something missing in the trailers?
I really think the voiceover became almost a parody of itself, where it's just so easy to spot it and get distracted by it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Voiceovers as a thing of the past. We'll have that, the day's business news, and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.